Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Zero BS Estate Agency. This week I'm interviewing Perry Power, a negotiation expert and the driving force behind an estate agency called Power Bespoke. Perry stands for performance, and although he believes anybody can sell a house, he also understands that very few can truly maximize a property's value. In this inspirational interview, Perry Power emphasizes the paramount importance of negotiation skills when selling homes. And he starts off by pointing out that a staggering 90% of estate agents lack proper negotiation expertise and delves deep into the art of negotiation, highlighting psychological and manipulative aspects, emphasizing its vital role in maximizing a property's value. He shares personal anecdotes and lessons learned, such as the power of slowing down negotiations to get a better outcome and the significance of having a solid negotiation plan before you go to market and the value of remarkable service in the real estate industry. Perry also discusses the misconception that excellent service alone can compensate for poor negotiation skills. And in this episode, he unveils the hidden complexities of the real estate market and the need for a competent negotiator when selling a property. Perry's insights and passion for negotiation are both enlightening and engaging, making this episode a must-listen for anyone looking to sell their property and secure the best deal. Don't miss out the chance to gain a competitive edge in the real estate market. So Perry, what is the one thing that truly maximizes the value of someone's home when they go to sell?
Your agent's ability and skill level to negotiate. And 90% of estate agents haven't got a clue how to negotiate.
Can you expand? Properly.
Let's try and go deep on this, right? So in negotiation is a really deep skill that you need to it's not flick it on right move, book a few viewings, take an offer, maybe get them up a little bit and say, Mr. Smith, I think you should accept it. Negotiation goes deep. It goes into psychology, it goes into manipulation, it goes into the words you're using when you're negotiating. I'm obsessed with negotiation. I will probably put out there I'm the second best negotiator in the world. The first best is John Savage, but it's so important, like marketing, right? Let's say some people will probably say to you, your agent's ability to market and to make your house stand out from the crowd. All that don't matter necessarily if you've got an amazing negotiator at the end of the phone when you finally get an offer. It makes our jobs as negotiators a lot easier when you've got amazing marketing, loads of competing interests, multiple offers, makes it easier. But when it comes down to it, when it's all said and done, it's how that person that says, Perry, I'd like to buy this house, here's my offer. And it's whether your agent says this to them, John, that's a great start, but that won't be accepted. What would your next offer be? Very few agents reply to every single offer by default, like a robot, systemized, processed, like that. They say, okay, Mr. Smith, thanks for your offer. I'll speak to my sellers. So there's so many mistakes that happen. It really bugs me. This is why we're not a profession in this country, because we don't handle anything with any real professionalism. There's no qualifications to be an estate agent. You know, that's my biggest bugbear right now. I was that geek at 19 that was qualified to the eyeballs. And then I realized that it falls on deaf ears with most property sellers because they just want to hear what they want to hear. So there we go. Negotiation, my man. It's get obsessed in it. If you're selling a house, test your agent first up. If they can't even negotiate their own fee, fuck them off and find one that actually values themselves. Because if they can't negotiate their own fee for their kids and their wife and their food on their table, imagine what they're going to do when it's your money involved. Have that.
Yeah, mate. I'm... It is such a huge part, the negotiation. You're completely correct. It reminds me of what I found out by mistake. So I've done the viewing. I know absolutely everything about this particular buyer. I know everything. And I'm very much like, I will do a viewing of someone I'm sure is 90% going to make an offer. There's 10% that they won't, but they will buy the second property through me if they don't buy the first one, purely because I know them that well. And the beautiful mistake I made for me was really embarrassing, but I thought quite funny afterwards. I've shown the property to a buyer, walked outside. She's turned her back to me because I've asked her the question, you know, so how much are you buying it for at the viewing? And she looked at me and she went, I think I'll offer 385. And I went, 385 ain't going to do it. Honestly, I'll put it forward, but I don't know. I'd really have to speak to my seller about that. And she gave me the weirdest look ever. And I thought, why has she given me this really confused, like, what? I've just offered you the asking price and you're turning that down. And I forgot that actually it was on for 385, not 395. So I learned a really valuable lesson of like, wow, there could be something in that. And then when it comes to the sellers and then buyers putting offers forward before, and when they were putting in asking price offers, I wanted the buyer to know that they've got competition, but equally at the same time, I wanted to know them to know that I'm actually working for my seller. So what I would say to them, I'd say, right, I'll speak to my seller first. Yeah. I don't know whether that's actually going to be accepted. I'm pretty positive it's not going to be accepted, and I necessarily can't support it, but I'll see what they say. I called the seller. Hello, Mr. Seller. You've been offered 274 for the flat. It is actually the asking price, but can I get your permission to go back to see if I can get you any more money? And they'd be like, yeah, of course you can. I go, all right, fine. And I'll go back and look to get more money. And it would work. But that was just...
So we've got this cultural rule. So I'm pretty obsessed with Chris Voss, right? The author of Never Split the Difference. I rewatch his masterclass on masterclass at least once every month. Because the thing is, right, you haven't got to do much to become an expert in something. Mm-hmm. You've just got to do more than everyone else, right? So for me, negotiation is the thing that I'm obsessed with. Like, I'm obsessed with estate agency. I love it. I love the deal. But deeper than that, I'm obsessed with the negotiation aspect of estate agency. Like, I don't take pictures because that doesn't bother me at all. And there's professional companies and we've got a private software that does that. I don't write descriptions because I've got like a D in English. I'm shit at English. I'm writing stuff. So thank God for ChatGPT these days. I sent my client, side note, I sent a client the other day their write-up and they were like, wow, sounds so posh. And I was like, that's the power of AI. And they were like, what, you didn't write it? I'm like, why would I write it when I can get a computer to do it for me? But to the point, like, it's not that hard to get 1% ahead of 99% of the industry and market. So I rewatch, one of my rules for that is I rewatch Chris Voss's masterclass on negotiation once every month. It, you know, it's mad mirror and matching. There's so many strategies that are just mind-bogglingly good. Because that's what it comes down to. But negotiation is like, I need those skills to negotiate the best fee for myself as well. And that applies to, so my kids eating well, but also learn that skill that passes on to my clients getting the highest possible price.
Is it just that though, Perry, or are you thinking equally about service? So how can I provide the best possible service to my clients?
I've got a really interesting question there. And sorry to interrupt you, but what I was saying before is we've got a rule, as Power spoke, that we never accept the first offer. So that came from Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. Mm-hmm. We've gone a bit deeper. We've got and it's a bit of a laughing stock in our WhatsApp group because an agent had put in there, I've got Phil asking on so-and-so. And then Mel will pop up and be like, but we never accept the first offer. What's their next one going to be? And if you reply, like, here's some advice to agents listening to this, right? If you reply with that basic, I'm a proper South London council estate basic person, right? So every single time I get an offer, great, John, thanks for the offer. I'm really looking forward to helping you buy the property, but that won't be accepted. What would your next offer be? 70% of people are going to give you their next offer. Mm. They'll say, oh, I don't know, you know, 350, probably 355 I max out on. So now I already know that I've got my next increase in my pocket and I'm two or three steps ahead of the negotiation on both the seller and the buyer's side. Never follow the negotiation, lead the negotiation. So it's mad. What was your question then? Sorry, when I went off on a tangent.
Do you know what? I completely forgot my... that's it. Right. So, does it go deeper? So there's obviously a level of professionalism that you have to make sure that once a month you're disciplined to watch Masterclass with Chris Voss, obviously FBI agent, probably the best negotiator in the world, so fair play. But does it go deeper? Are you thinking, I don't just need to maximize the value of someone's house, but my service levels have to be so much better than all the agents as well to get to the end goal as efficiently and as quickly as my client needs us to get there?
Yeah, massively. So one of our core values is be remarkable. We've got three: simplify everything, be remarkable, be personable. Great service comes from exceeding expectations. Incredible service comes from exceeding expectations on sale price. So we work on two figures a lot of the time. In our agreements, there's a target price and then there's a marketing price. So we don't value houses. We're not Rick surveyors. We ain't buying them. Who knows what they're going to be actually worth when it all comes down to it. But what we do talk about is, look, your target price, I think, is 500. And that's where we can aim for. But to get there, we're going to market it offers over 475. But even better when I get them 510, because we've got 10 grand more than the target price. So yeah, it's everything. But I think, here's a question for you, right? How do you think 90% of sellers would reply to this question? I'm an estate agent, right? If I said to clients, John, I'm going to give you a terrible service, but I'm going to achieve you 5% more for your house than any other estate agent is going to. Or, John, I'm going to give you an amazing service. I'm available Sundays, 8 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, but I'm only going to achieve a 95% of your asking price for your house. Which would they decide?
Terrible service.
So to me, service is a given. Let's all stop saying we give great service and blah, 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 because you shouldn't be in business if you ain't doing that. Just get better prices. And to get better prices, you stop giving people lies, stop tying them into massive contracts, and get good at negotiation. It's so simple. I was saying to an agent the other day that I was having like a coaching call with, because he was in a bit of a pickle. And I was like, the good thing for me and you is estate agency is like the simplest industry you can ever possibly work in my opinion. It's not easy. I made the mistake if I said it's easy, because I do find it quite easy, but I know it isn't. And he was like, oh, it's not easy, is it? But it is simple. And he's so right. But what's really complicated is simplicity is complication in itself, isn't it? Mm. So yeah, I'm just... And that's why every single agent at Power Bespoke, before they can even receive an offer, have to have gone through their advanced negotiation certification. It's a...
But that's just, that's truly looking after the seller, though. That is really looking after the seller. That's not just going, I've got an offer, I'm going to... I had a colleague once, and I threatened to sack her. And the reason why, and I love this girl, but we basically, there was a flat on the market, 400 grand was probably the right money. I was like, do you know what? This has got extra. So of course, every property is different, so must be treated appropriately, right? So this one had the extra bells and whistles. And I was like, do you know what? 425 is actually the right money, which is not me. Normally I err on the side of caution. So 425 was the right money. She's gone and done a viewing with one of her buyers. She's come back proud as punch. She agreed it for 422,500, 2.5 grand below the 425 that I said to the seller, I want to get them. But she did exactly what you just said then, was basically got the first offer tied up at that level. I went bananas. And said, you ever do that again, I will sack you. You've just cost the seller 2.5 grand.
Mm.
You've just, because we're 22,500 above 400 grand, but you've made it so easy for the buyer, but you're not working for the buyer. You're working for the seller. You can't just go and just get things tied up. And it was, obviously I was out of the office and stuff. I was really not happy about that. Because it is about, negotiation, I think, in addition to it, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but negotiation also means it keeps the buyers on their toes. It keeps because the buyers are thinking, oh my God, this agent's not in my pocket. I can't just throw my tools out the pram.
I'm quite happy making the buyer think I'm in their pocket, to be honest, but I'm not. So at the highest level, and bearing in mind, I believe every buyer in the UK should have an agent acting for them as well. We do that a lot for clients, but people think they can do it themselves and save a bit of money, but they're really costing themselves thousands. But anyway, I will carry on my crusade on that. But I'm very happy for the buyers. Negotiation at the highest level is manipulation.
Yeah.
Now, there's two types of manipulation, positive and negative. It's positive manipulation because you're trying to get someone to do something that they're not ordinarily wanting to do themselves necessarily. And it's just such, when you go into the psychology of it, and I just find it so fascinating. And I am going to, we've got our own certification in Power Bespoke that no one else can have access to. Like, it's a bespokely put together advanced certification for our agents. But I am going to package that in, because estate agents has no qualification, no experience necessarily. You could be selling widgets yesterday and you've just been thrown in the deep end at an agency because they're really short-staffed and, oh, I ain't got time for that appraisal. Can you go and have a look around that house and give them a price? It happens. I know it does, and it shouldn't, but it does. Even if they cock up the valuation, it can be clawed back with good negotiation. I'm sure of it. If the marketing's cocked up, it can be clawed back with good negotiation. It all comes down. And let's not forget, the negotiation isn't just the price. It's the negotiating the journey of offer acceptance to exchange. And when I say to agents, like, look, what's the three areas that you can easily negotiate on when negging a deal? Most of them look blank and they're like, well, the price, isn't it? And it's like, nah, you've got there's loads, but on the simplest terms, you've got the time scales, massive driver for people, and then you've got the fixtures and fittings. And in our Power Bespoke way, we've got an 8-step negotiation plan for every single offer we receive on selling a house. And we've got an 8-step four day being quite important, negotiation plan for clients that we act as their negotiator for their property purchase. And it's just so simple, but so important.
So that for me, right, is super exciting. So what we're effectively saying is here is, if a seller is then making a decision between three agents,
my negotiation plan.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. And that does the agent have a plan?
No, they don't. Honestly, most of them ain't got a plan. So we've got an anti-stagnation strategy. We've got a pre-reduction strategy plan. Like, everything has to have a plan. I can't. My life's got a plan. Your life's got a plan. You put the sat nav in the car. That's a plan to get somewhere. Like, but when it comes to selling your house or choosing an estate agent, no one's asking them questions of, okay, great, you'll get me 550, but if you don't, what's the plan? And like, we've got like a client charter promise that we'll never ever ask for a reduction until we have implemented our pre-reduction checklist, ultimately. Which is in depth. Like, it's, and when you're giving good advice to people, and again, I call them advice meetings, not appraisals or evaluations, because it really is that. It's an advice meeting. And you end the advice saying, look, and you want me to just implement all this for you? I'll be happy to. And then, but there's a, when they say to me, yeah, I'll get, they said they'll get me 20 grand more. I'm like, oh, great. What's their negotiation plan? Like a proven schedule of steps and events that are going to get you the highest price. And they're like, well, you didn't mention that. You just said it'll get me 20 grand more. And I was like, well, let me give you a bit of advice. Buyers don't just willy-nilly pay more for your house because they feel like it, particularly not right now. So that has to be managed, planned, and extracted from the buyer. So I love it. And this is why it's so simple. I'm a simple guy. I sometimes have to revert back to my own freaking negotiation plan that I wrote 10 years ago just to kick myself up the bum a little bit and remind myself of, no, we're only at step two. We're not going to call them. This is a Mexican standoff. And I say to buyers when I'm helping them, here's an interesting one. The The agent should be trying to speed up the negotiation. The buyer should be trying to slow it down. Because us as agents want quick fire increases, 300, no, 305, no, 310, 315, you've got a deal within the space of 4 or 5 hours. Why is that? Should be 2 or 3 days, really. Slow it down and you'll get a better outcome. Just this week, I had a client message me on Tuesday to say, Perry, I've made a right cock up. I've offered on this house and I'm pretty certain I'm paying too much. I should have called you first. And I had a look in it. I was like, you are paying too much, but leave it to me. Spoke to the estate agent, got her 30 grand off. She's skipping down the road. She may have been able to do it herself, but the agent I was negotiating against was pretty good. He'd done the old, you know, why is that? Why do you think this? Trying to get me, you know, like when someone makes an offer, you're like, so how have you come to that figure as a valuation for the house? And they're like, well, mate, down the pub said the market's going to drop 15%. Or I watched this on YouTube last night. So it's a I find that part of it the most fascinating part of the whole job. Mm. And it actually turns out to be the most important as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I could not agree more. Interestingly, I wasn't expecting you to say anything actually, but when you say negotiation, that is the glue that keeps everything together, because you've sown the seeds at the very beginning and set the standard and the tone.
Check the irony of this, right, John? When you start in a estate agency as a trainee neg, you can't wait to get that title of negotiator off your business card, because it's the lowest rung of the ladder, right? Trainee neg, junior neg, senior neg. Thank fuck I'm an assistant manager now, or I'm a lister, or I'm a valuer, whatever. Just get that neg thing off my business card. It's the most important role of the whole business. Do you know that? But they can't wait to become a lister so they can just sign it up, flick it to the neg that's never done it, never negotiated a day in their life or had any training around it. And thank God they haven't got to do any negotiation ever again.
So is it for a seller when they're interviewing agents? I don't believe they think they're interviewing agents, but they should be interviewing agents. When they're interviewing agents, does it come down to an honestly Chris Boss level elite negotiating, or does it come down to an agent that's got some proper planning and procedures in place?
Agent, proper planning in place. You don't want to be Chris Voss when you're interviewing an estate. You want to make sure that you're employing a Chris Voss to sell your house. And there's so many things that you can interestingly, right? I'm kind of market conditions and stuff, so I'm kind of coming away a little bit from the whole percentage of original marketing price percentage. What matters to me right now, and a really internal metric for Power Bespoke, is average increase from initial offer to sale agreed. So this quarter, we're at 4.9% from initial offer to sale agreed.
Love that.
A 4.9% increase, right? Now, which is mental, given that the Nationwide House Price Index last one said that the prices are down 4.9%. So are they down 4.9%, or is just all the estate agents shitting themselves and taking it in the arse and not negotiating very well at all?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I think it's not negotiating very well and actually thinking more about keeping office doors open than actually
getting them sold. Yeah.
Yeah. Than working for the actual person they've agreed to work for. Totally.
And I say to my sellers, so when you're giving advice, you're like, look, let's, you know, check out our Rightmove account, our website. You can see how good our marketing is. Let's not bore you with that. This is the plan I'm sticking to when I get an offer on your place, right? Let's talk about that. That's the important bit. And it's just really interesting that I think most agents won't be tracking that internal metric. So when I'm like, look, just flop it. I've got it on my iPad. You know, I screen grab it from our CRM, drop it in the iPad. I can show them. Let me show you over the past 22 sales this quarter, whatever it is, our average offer to sale agreed increase 4.9%. Before you sign with an agent, just check theirs, just to make sure that you're not employing a dud.
And
they ring them up. Hey, can I quickly check your percentage of asking price or whatever it is? And they're like, oh, don't know it. Most won't know it. So it's an interesting one.
Mate, that is so valid, so incredible. And I could not agree more with that. And I think that actually that's a much better metric than what I would use, which is percentage of asking price, what I actually achieved. I think that's
important because, you know, we still are proud of ours.
Yeah.
But in a quick change in market, you're going to be 6, 7, 8, 10 months lag on that anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, because ultimately I think GetAgent is the only real source for that. And that's houses sales that you put together months ago. 6 months right now is a whole different market.
Yeah.
So that internal metric that you can't really prove, ultimately, that's the trouble with it, is you can't independently prove and verify it. With GetAgent, you can, but it's just a bit out of date. So it's an interesting one. Yeah.
Mate, honestly, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Gold, pleasure. gold. Yeah. And this is why I'm getting elite level agents, especially somebody like Perry that's been in this industry since God was a boy, and getting him on to actually talk through that. If you're a seller right now, take the advice on board. You must do. Perry, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
See you, my man.